Good morning, you guys. How's everyone doing? Good. Hey, sir, if you can, on Pro Presenter, click the clear audio button that you see near the top. That should do what I think you're wanting to do. Hello, Carlotta. Well, good morning, guys. It's been a few months, I think, since, when was it, babe, July or so, since I've had the honor of speaking here. I think the last time I was able to preach for you guys, I was in my living room. That was the last time. Everything was online. It's good to see you guys here. Well, if you guys would, let's open our Bibles to the book of Proverbs. And I will tell you exactly where to turn to in a moment, as long as you get there. This morning, we will be talking about justice. It's a polarizing word, obviously, in 2020. We hear justice a lot. If you watch any amount of news, you know what this word probably means to somebody. Or if you're on Twitter or Facebook, a lot of us are on Facebook, right? You probably, if I'm lucky, can scroll maybe 5 seconds without seeing something political, something about justice, something that's calling me to be woke. If you guys have heard that word, to be woke or to be a social justice warrior, there's pressure. There's pressure to have an opinion today. And if we're all honest, we have an opinion, right? We have something to say about something or somebody or the circumstance of our country or whatever it may be. But God truly in His Word does call us to be people who are slow to speak, people who are quick to listen, people whose hearts are slow to anger. And Scripture itself, if you guys have read through the Bible, which I know most of us have because of our reading plan, is rich in its testimony about what justice truly is. I'll give you guys some examples before we go to our key text here. Ecclesiastes 3 says, I said in my heart, God will judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time for every matter and every work. Or Proverbs 21, when justice is done, it is a joy to the righteous, but terror to evildoers. Or Isaiah 30, therefore the Lord waits to be gracious to you, and therefore he exalts himself to show mercy to you, for the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. Or Micah 6:8, as my friend Cindy posted yesterday, he has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. The Lord loves righteousness and justice, and the earth is full of his unfailing love. And I say this, obviously, not to show you guys that justice is important. I'm positive that you guys understand justice for today is important, just as it has ever been. I would dare to even say that all people in the world, to some extent, have a form of justice that they hold to. I would consider the thief who has made a living out of stealing. How would you guys think he felt if something were stolen from him? I mean, you guys have all probably done something yourself that somebody else did to you that you thought wasn't right. Or the murderer. How do you think they feel when someone is taken from them in cruel and merciless violence? Right? They would feel wronged. They would feel an injustice against them. So that no matter how given over or depraved someone is in their mind, all people that God made, which is all people, have some form of justice that they hold to, or injustice that they feel. It's in every human heart. God made us this way. We are made in His image, the Imago Dei. His image is written on us. We have His character that bears witness about how we are to conduct ourselves as the people of God. There's this feeling of discomfort and unrest we see or we feel when we see an injustice in the world today. If you guys have ever seen anything wrong on the internet or a video, you know what I'm talking about. This feeling that, like, if you're being honest, sometimes you wish you could just punch someone in the face, right? Because they've done something wrong. I saw a video the other day of an elderly man walking down the street in New York and a younger man about my age, a lot bigger. Hey, Neil, if you can turn down the gain on Pastor Brandon's mic. Pastor Brandon's mic is not all the way on the top. The knob all the way on top. There you go. There you go. We have subwoofers here up there. Two very big ones. Are you guys able to hear me for the time being? I need to really pull out my preacher voice now. So, the question I want you guys to consider this morning is if you truly have a biblical sense, a God-given sense of what justice truly is. What is at the heart of true justice? What does it mean to see true justice served and put out in the world? So before we turn to our text, would you guys pray with me here this morning? Father, we thank you for the gift we have in knowing you and knowing your heart and your character. You truly are a God who is always gracious to us, always kind. Your faithfulness is everlasting, and your goodness knows no end. Father, would you help us this morning in our understanding of who you are, what justice is, and what it means to be your people. Holy Spirit, would you increase our understanding and our love for God here this morning? This we pray and ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you guys would, if you are already in Proverbs, turn to chapter 28. We will be in Proverbs 28. We will be looking at verse 5. Here's the reading of the word of the Lord. It says, "Evil men do not understand justice, but those who seek the Lord understand it completely." Christians are called in this time and in this age to stand on the Word of God, to stand on professions like this, that evil men, as the Scripture says without apology, evildoers, do not understand what justice is. It's a striking profession for the people of God. The language Solomon uses there is pretty clear. Evil men do not understand justice. He says it with, or writes it with, unwavering conviction. If we are to be the people of God, the church of God, that he has called us to be, we are to stand on truths like that. We must not cower from truths. Evil men do not understand justice, cannot comprehend it rightly, rightly so. And the natural question that may come to mind in hearing the first part of that sentence is, what constitutes, what makes up an evil person? Evil is a word we hear often in the Word of God. Our very Lord Jesus uttered the word evil on occasion. Is it like whatever we feel is wrong? Is that evil? Well, it can be, but not ultimately. Or is it whatever the law of the United States says is wrong? Is that evil? And the answer, well, it can be, right? The law in our country says murder is wrong. God says murder is wrong. So yes, sometimes the law is right, but it's not ultimate. It's not foundational in defining what is evil. And as we read Scripture, we are given the clear testimony that that which is evil is that which contradicts or goes against God's moral character, goes against what God has given us in his law goes against the instruction he's given us. We do not get to define what evil is, nor will we ever get to. God does. Here's why justice is important right now in this moment in 2020. It's because if we don't understand truly justice, what it is, what it means, we will not have our hope in the right place or in the right person. If we think justice is ultimately made right with a political candidate, you're wrong. You're mistaken. If you think justice is ultimately made right in a Supreme Court, you're wrong. You're mistaken. If you think justice is something that can be ultimately served out and followed through by men who are fallen, we're mistaken. And as we prepare in the next 2 months to wrap up our 2020, at least for me and for the people in my circle, I know there is a deep longing, a deep sense to have justice satisfied in this world. God made us this way. For our nation, right? We pray for justice in our nation. For our family, we pray for justice. For our culture, right? We pray for justice. For our children and our children's children, we would hope and pray that justice is right. That we would understand it, that we would be an example of it. We must know where God has drawn the line, where he's made it clear on our understanding. You notice the context there and the contrast. It says, evil men do not understand justice, but those who seek the Lord understand it completely. Completely. It says that those who seek the Lord understand what justice is completely. How does that hit you this morning? If someone were to tell me, hey, Frankie, you understand justice completely. You know what justice is. You really do. You truly know what justice is. I'd be kind of floored, and I was. Right? Do you understand what justice is completely if you seek the Lord? That which philosophers have wrestled with for ages, Aristotle, Plato, Marx, what they've wrestled with for ages, people who seek the Lord understand completely. It not only says that we understand it completely, but it says that those in our circles, our families, those even in our churches, those in our cities and in our nation who do not know Christ in a saving way do not know justice. It is an explicit truth in Scripture. And it's not that you necessarily go up to someone, obviously, and say, you don't know justice, man, I do, because I seek the Lord. It's not meant to give you a big head. But it is clear that those who do not seek the Lord do not understand justice. That though people who don't know Christ can fight for justice, sure, right? There's tons of lawyers who aren't Christians. There's tons of politicians who aren't Christians. But they cannot give an ultimate basis for why it's important. Right? Why is justice important? Well, because it's the law. Well, why is the law important? Well, because we made the laws and you're breaking the law. And you can go on and on into, we call it an infinite regress. The Christian can give an ultimate basis on why justice is honorable, why it's a worthy cause to fight for, why it's noble, why it's important. That is not to say that you literally, though, can behold what it means to see perfect justice. The verse does not say or infer that we know justice because we are holier or smarter or wiser or better off. But we know justice because we know the one who is justice. We know the true judge of all the world. We are fallen, all of us, not just people who don't know Christ, all of us. You guys know this. We all sin. And if you don't think you do, then you just did. We are all fallen. But the people of God have something special, a gift, a treasure, something or someone rather unique on his own, in his own category. They have Christ, the perfect Son of God who takes away the sins of the world. They have an advocate, right? Someone who represents you. You have an acquittal because of the blood of Christ. The person of God can understand justice? Yes. Because you yourselves, people of God, are known by the judge of all the earth. He knows you. He knows you by name. He loves you. He actually made you, formed you. You are made in his image. The judge of all the earth knows you. Because of this, we can understand sin. In Christ, we can understand the condition of man and his sin, that mankind is fallen, truly, truly fallen, dead in sin, and unable to create life within himself. That man's heart, as Scripture says, is deceitful and desperately sick. Who can understand it? I can't. Or as Scripture says, none is righteous. No, not one. Paul wrote that to the church in Rome, to Christians. It says, none is righteous. No, not one. When we are asking for God's justice, we are asking for all of it. We are not just asking justice for the unborn killed in the womb or against the people who would profit from it, or for the people discriminated against because of their skin color, or against people who would traffic precious women and children. That is what worldly justice does. It's selective. Let's fight this cause, but not this other cause. Let's fight racism, but not abortion. The justice of the world attempts to separate the sin that lies outwardly from us from the sin that lies inwardly within us. God's justice is total. It is without exception, and it's to be vindicated against anyone who would defile his glory and his beauty and his worth and his grace and his love. Who's defiled it that way? I have. Alicia has. We all have. You and I have defiled the glory of God. Without exception. Apart from Christ and his atoning sacrifice, we have no justification or righteousness. This is another reason why those who seek the Lord understand justice completely, because in Christ, the justice of God is truly satisfied. On the cross, we see the clearest image of God's justice on sin. And on the cross, we see the Son of God with full and total willingness and joy in his heart take on the wrath of God. He swallowed up wrath for you, for me, in his body. He swallowed up wrath for evil men that the proverb talks about. In Christ, the justice of God is not something that is swept under the rug in the way a crooked judge would do, or a corrupt politician. It is truly satisfied. To use biblical language, he has borne our punishment. He has took it upon himself. Consider the scripture, for our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That's a beautiful transaction there. So that in the story of redemption and grace, God's love would be magnified and simultaneously his justice would be upheld in the world. The true person who seeks God, they can understand justice. They can also seek justice, true and honest justice without hypocrisy. We can seek justice, people of God, for the unborn, or for victims of abuse, or for those who would profit through deceit and not worry about God seeing our own impatience and lust, or your love of comfort, or your indifference. He does see it, but if you are in Christ, it is covered. Your sins are washed away. He loves you still despite your own sinfulness. In Christ, your sins are paid for, not to make a practice of sin, but to run from it and to make much of Christ in your life. You are safe in Christ to call for true justice without the worry of the wrath of God falling on yourself in the way that it would for an evil man. And this should humble you, not swell you with pride or vain ambition. To call those who are evil and wicked, to call them out is to truly call a person to Christ. It's not just to point out a problem for the sake of pointing out a problem. True justice and true reconciliation is offered in Christ alone. True justice and true reconciliation is not offered in bringing clean water to the poorest of the poor, though you should. It's not offered in protecting the unborn, though you should. And it's not offered in the policies of whoever sits behind the desk in the Oval Office. True justice and true reconciliation is offered in Christ alone. The call for accountability and justice is offered and only answered in Jesus Christ. It's a call to come and follow Christ. It is a call to forsake selfish gain. It is a call to forsake unfruitful criticism and misplaced anger and rage. It is a call to forsake ways of living that make you feel good about yourself in the moment, but offers you no true sustenance and meaning. It's called to forsake that way of life. It is not a desire to see those you disagree with punished. That is not the character or the heart of the person of God. What it is it's a call to see the glory of God vindicated, brought forth. Which brings us to our true problem here today. The prophet Ezekiel, who spoke as the mouthpiece of God, as essentially all the biblical authors do, wrote, "The soul who sins shall die. The soul who sins shall die." In Christ, justice is satisfied, and without him, it will be accounted for. And absolutely accounted for. There is a day coming soon, whether here or there, it really makes no difference, but there is a day when God will judge the secrets of men by Christ Jesus, as the apostle wrote. Every secret, every millisecond of sin that you've hid in your heart, he knows, and you will be judged by, and every account in the universe will be settled before the final judge, either by virtue of the cross or by your willful rejection of it. God is just, church. His wisdom and his counsel, they're perfect. There's no blemish in them. What God accuses you of, he is absolutely right in his accusation. Another scripture that says, do not fear those who can kill the body. Right? The body grows weak, with age, tired with time. But fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. You will not be judged on that day for what you guys did for social justice or what you didn't do. You will not be judged by what you did for the unborn or what you didn't do. You will not be judged, even believe it or not, by who you voted for or who you didn't vote for. You will be judged alone on your receiving of or your rejection of Christ, the Lamb of God. Will you be like the hymn writer in declaring, thy cross, not mine, O Christ, has borne the awful load of sins that none in heaven or earth could bear but God. The cross is our only hope for final justice. God's love and his grace are incredible gifts given to us, as the proverb wrote, to seek him, to love him, to repent from our ways. Every person in your family, every friend, every person you've walked by on a street or driving, past, present, and future, must account for the cross. And justice will be ultimately served on that basis. It's a glorious thought, isn't it? All his saints, this is all of us one day, and all his angels will be worshiping and glorying in the God of all the earth as he executes perfect judgment on all people. Perfect judgment, he will be worshiped for it. For those who will be rewarded everlasting life, and even for those who will receive their due wage of everlasting contempt, no injustice will remain. No momentary season of adultery, no quick snap of impatience will be unaccounted for. No hatred concealed in your heart, no unforgiveness to a brother. There is justice for everything. There is justice for tragedy. Have you, O people of God, ever experienced tragedy? Have you think something personal that would be a tragedy to me? Have you ever lost a child? And how God is your refuge in those moments, and he will make every wrong thing right in the shadow of the cross. Have you ever lost a spouse? And isn't it a wonderful gift how God remains faithful no matter what? Or lost a friend? And isn't it again a wonderful gift that Jesus sticks closer than a brother? He's right by you. In the midst of tragedy, he does not just passively look over you. He sees you through the pain. But on account of his eternal justice and judgment, death will answer for his gross, vile, and wicked and evil condition the world was put under because of him. On that day, it will be the judgment of death, and it will be the death of death. Perfect justice is coming, and it will be given on that day, and it is good news. The justice of God is good news for all who would receive Christ. There's an old saying that an old preacher used to say where he said, I have good news and bad news. The good news is God is coming. And the bad news is God is coming. Depends what side of the line you're standing on. And as I close, I want to remind you guys, I'll invite the worship team up too, that it is a call to forsake your love of comfort and to do something with the time you've got left. Again, those who seek the Lord understand justice completely. Are you seeking the Lord? In light of our scripture, Our seeking of the Lord is equated with our understanding of justice. If you are not seeking the Lord, you do not understand justice. Friends, you have one life. You get 70, 80, 90 years, maybe, if God grants you that. You get one life. As I was talking to George about a couple weeks ago, this important, you got one life to live. You got one life to make a difference for Christ. You get one life to show your friends and family what true justice is and who it is found in. You get one life to live for the glory of God. Lay down your burdens, to lay down your bitterness, to lay down your indifference, to lay down your criticisms. If the scripture is right, which it is, in saying that those who seek the Lord understand justice completely, what are we doing? What are we doing? You have a voice. Let it be heard for the sake of the gospel. You have a heart. Let your character be known as a person of grace, humility, meekness, kindness, respect, honor, nobility. You have a brain. Consider what it means to be the people of God and what that call truly means and the effects it should have on your life. I'm not speaking politically or socially or culturally, though God may call you to seek justice in those areas. But I'm calling you to seek justice in your homes, in your family, for the people you love and care about. To be justified before God truly is a treasure each and every one of us in this room do not deserve. Why should we just sit on by? God's justice, as Scripture says, will be brought forth to the nations with or without you. And it's my prayer that you wouldn't be found sleeping on a treasure. Just sleeping. Not giving any away. You have Christ. Take him. Toil the ground of the people's hearts around you. It is God who works in you to will and work for his good pleasure. So will you work? Will you do something? Scripture says if God is at work in you, you will. And if he's not, then you won't. It's clear. It's unapologetic. Don't be indifferent. Too much is at stake. Too much is riding on this. Spurgeon wrote, "The Holy Spirit can cast out the evil spirit of the fear of man, and he can make the coward brave. There are no victims in the kingdom of God. There are only conquerors. There are only victors in the kingdom of God. There are only overcomers in the kingdom of God. Because we have all been loved, we all have a story to tell. We all have something to say about Christ, a voice to be heard. There is someone you know who needs to be made right with God. I think of people like my brothers, my cousins, my aunts, my grandpa. And they are not promised tomorrow. Neither are you. You are promised no future moments. Time is fleeting." It's like I tell friends of mine sometimes when they're going through something, I say, "Get up, wash your face, look to Christ, and press on. You are an ambassador of Christ, a peacemaker, a proclaimer, a bringer of the good news to the poor and to the rich and to the indifferent and to the people who sit in churches for years like I did, unchanged and unmoved, to the hurting and to the broken. Christ offers us all terms of peace. He satisfies for us what we never could on our own. He is the true fulfillment of the law and the answer for our unrighteous ways and thoughts. And it is only by virtue of his blood on the cross that we are made right with him. His justice is for us all, either on the cross in life or in death." Proverbs 28:5, "Evil men do not understand justice, but those who seek the Lord understand it completely." Understand it completely. Would you pray with me here in this moment, church? Father, we are here because we exist for your glory and for your great name. And though fallen man may try to put together cultures and societies, there is always remnants of wrong because we are fallen. And our hope, Lord, is in your name. It is in your cross. Jesus, would you help us? Help us to seek you more, that our understanding may increase, that our works may increase, and that every evil way about us and our hearts may decrease. Father, would you help us in this? We love you, and we ask, Lord, that in our lives you would make much of yourself, and that true justice would reign in all the earth. It's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.